Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from 1 Timothy chapter 6. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. This is the text. Last week, we tackled some of the more challenging words from Paul's letter to Timothy in chapter 2, where he speaks of the blessing of a peaceful and quiet life, the blessing of submitting to authority, the burden of authority, the blessing of men and women serving in their unique vocations. And when understood this way, which is the way Paul presents it, his message of quietness, submitting, and women being saved through childbearing begins to make sense. But if you weren't here last week, I know our St. James families, the kids were all singing over at St. James, so if you didn't see it, go online, you can watch it and watch it there. The one part of Paul's discourse that I wasn't able to talk about because the sermon was getting a little long already, was what he had said about respectable apparel. Paul said, "Likewise, women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness, with good works." 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now, several things are going on here. The reference to braided hair, it's because certain elaborate hairstyles were worn by women to let the male clientele know that they are available, if you know what I mean. Paul says, in your Christian freedom, don't dress like a prostitute. This does not benefit Christ and his church. And that really is the litmus test for what we do. It's not about obeying the law and what is right and what is wrong. What's the line that we can cross? Or what's the line that we can't cross? Because then we spend our time figuring out how close can we get to that line that we can't cross? How close can we get without touching it? And we focus our attention on sin. You know, how much can I get away with and still be a good Christian? That is our sinful nature's operative question. And then we either feel guilty for crossing that line, or we feel really good about ourselves because I'm not like those other people that cross that line. And that makes me a good Christian. No, the operative question is what are you doing of benefit to Christ and his church? That's the question we ask when we're looking at our words, our actions, the events of our life. Because we sin and cross that line all the time. No matter how good we think we are, we have all sinned and have all fallen short of the glory of God. You are saved by grace, not by works, and this is a really good thing. So what does it matter if my wife dresses in costly attire? Well, in the first century, especially among the Gentiles, the vast majority of people were either slaves or common workers. The vast majority of people within the church were either slaves or common workers. And a denarius was a typical day's wage. Now, according to my Lutheran study Bible notes, it says that the finest garments could cost up to 7,000 denarii. That would be about 20 years worth of wages for the common worker. What benefit is it to Christ and his church for you to come on Sunday morning wearing an outfit that costs $1 million? How could this be seen as being done to the glory of God and not the glory of yourself? When some of your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ may not have solid plans as to whether or not they're going to have a meal the rest of the day. Paul is not laying down some rules to obey that we need to be plain like the Amish because then we are right with God. No, Paul is teaching his readers, the people in the first century and us, to see our daily actions in our everyday life as a response and a reflection of our faith. That what we do and what we say demonstrates the love and holiness to which we have graciously been called. Which brings us to Paul's words, which we read in our epistle lesson today. Paul says, be content. Don't love money. Don't let your craving for the pleasures of this world cause you to wander from your faith. Don't be haughty. Oh, that's a good word. Don't be proud or boastful about what you have. Don't set your hope on the uncertainty of riches. As Paul says elsewhere, if you're going to boast, boast in the Lord and what he has done for you. If you're going to set your hope on something, set your hope on Christ and the good news of the forgiveness of sins and the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. That's where true life is. And he says, be rich in good works. Just like we heard Paul say last week about the women, about how they should dress. He says, don't adorn yourself with that $1 million dress and gold and pearls. Adorn yourself, he says, with good works. Besides, this is more beautiful than any clothing you can wear. To paraphrase Forrest Gump, beauty is as beauty does. Again, in all that you do, the operative question always is what you are doing of benefit to Christ and his church? It's not is what you're doing how much benefit. It's just that is what you're doing of benefit to Christ and his church? And we don't get caught up, well, if I do a little more, then it'll be even greater. That is getting caught up in, as Jonathan Fiske likes to say, the rat wheel to heaven. You know, you just keep going and going and you don't get anywhere. It is through grace that we have been saved. All that we do is simply the response to him. And we look at our lives. You know, Paul's not saying that having wealth is the problem. Just like he says, fine clothing, nice clothes, that's not the problem. Paul's not laying down rules for what you must do or must not do to be a good Christian. These are not rules to obey, as if by obeying the law you can get anywhere in the kingdom of God. Like the prophet Amos, who warned the lovers of money in his day. What was the problem? Well, they felt at ease, and they felt secure as they lie down on their beds of ivory and drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils. Because where you place your trust, that is your God. And there is only one treasure that is going to last. Your house, your car, your money, even bars of gold are not going to see eternity. In our gospel reading, Jesus tells of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man's sin was not being rich. The rich man's sin was that he didn't listen to Moses and the prophets. He had no interest in the words of Amos. He feasted sumptuously every day while Lazarus laid at his gate and fought dogs for the table scraps. And by the way, the dogs licking his sores was not a source of comfort. Read the text carefully. No Jew would think that this was a good thing. Again, this is not about Paul or Jesus setting up rules to live your life by, a guideline for Christian living. This is what you must do to live the good life in Christ. There is no line in the sand that shows you how much you need to care about your neighbor. As if I could tell you, well, you know, if you would just care a little more, or care this much, or give this much, then you're a good Christian. You need to be on the good side of this line. That is not the gospel. If you hear that preached, run away, because that is not the message of Christ and his church. We will never find ourselves on the good side of any line dividing right and wrong. We are all poor, miserable sinners, and we do not love our neighbor the same as we love ourselves. And we do not love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength and might. But we are also adopted by God, washed clean, called his own, forgiven our wickedness, and he promises to remember it no more. We have been clean of all unrighteousness through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. That's the good news we come again and again to hear. And your response to the grace and mercy you have received, that's what leads you to ask the operative question, well, is what I am doing of benefit to Christ and his church? Because in thankfulness to him, we desire for the church to be able to share this good news with others. To not just be content, well, I know the truth, and that's all that matters. No, we desire for this to grow. We desire this to be heard. And we are to be rich in good works. Clothe ourselves in the beauty of good works, so that our neighbors who benefit from these good works may see the good deeds that are done by the children of God. And they too will praise our Father in heaven. And this is a benefit to Christ and his church. We desire to continue living under the grace of God, because there is no better place to be. And we desire for the word of the Lord to grow in its influence with all of those who we meet, with all of those who God places in your path. And so we look to the grace we have received from God, and we ask the question, what may I do that is of benefit to Christ and his church? Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.